Sometimes it just don't pay to be the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that is 100% made in America. He's often described as mid-century modern Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I'm getting to say that faster and faster every time, burning up less of your time so we can get right down to the important stuff. What's the important stuff? We're here to help your transition from normal life to Medicare life be as pleasant, seamless, and almost fun as possible. You're approaching the decision point with Medicare, then we're your people. We will help you understand what's needed, what should be done, what your best course of action will be, what your least expensive course of action will be, and then we'll help you sign the papers to get that done. And all of this is laid out in my very short book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. If you go to Amazon and search for Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, you're going to see a book with a guy sleeping in an easy chair with a red 2021 on the cover. That red 2021 signifies the year. That's the current edition. Don't look at the blue 2020. Don't look at the blue 2019 or the green 2019, whatever we had. The current edition is the 2021, and we've got the paperback for $8. We've got the ebook or the Kindle version for $3.80. And someday, if the creek don't rise and all that other stuff, we're going to have an Audible book that sounds very much like what you're listening to right now. And that will be approved and put on sale probably in the middle of the night, because that's the way they did it last year. They waited 3 months, January 27th to April 22nd of 2020. Here came the Audible book. We waited and waited and waited, drummed our fingers, and wondered what we had done wrong. And then all of a sudden, April 22nd, it was on sale. They didn't even bother to warn us that was coming up. Well, this year, I got it ready and gave it to them on the 21st of January. And I'm hoping that it'll be that much sooner before the Audible book is able to be listened to, because it is a popular type of edition of the book that we're talking about. So at this time, I often think to myself, well, people are going to get tired of hearing the magnificent 30-second radio spot that explains so clearly why we're here. And then I say, no, Doug, that's not true. People never get tired of hearing that, because these episodes are actually spaced out pretty far. So perhaps if we have Randy, if we ask him nicely, he'll play that for us right now. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Oh, boy. I never get tired of hearing that. It's my favorite voice speaking over my favorite band singing. Actually, they didn't sing anything, doing the only instrumental I ever heard them do. And the name of that instrumental, the music bed for that 30-second spot, is 2120 South Michigan Avenue, which those of you who may not know what the significance is, that was the address of Chess Records in Chicago. And they actually recorded some songs there. I don't know how long it took them to come up with that instrumental, but I'm glad they did, because it makes a perfect music bed for our introduction of our activities here, why Medicare for the Lazy Man exists. And it also exists to give an important guy something to do every couple of mornings, so that his wife doesn't make him go out and rake leaves and do yard work and so forth. And that would be Randy Carson, our podcast engineer. How are you, Randy?
I'm good. You know, we just discussed a little bit earlier today that raking leaves is not a good thing.
It can kill you.
It can kill you, just like scooping snow. And I got out of the Midwest as quickly as I could, so I didn't have to scoop snow.
I'll tell you, my father died raking leaves. He died with a rake in his hand, and the county coroner showed up. I was miles away in downtown Chicago, so people who were closer were able to get there sooner, and the county coroner showed up, looked down at my father, who was in his work clothes, holding a rake in his hand, laying on his back, staring up at the sky, and he said, "I suspect foul play." And I think he might have been a Democrat, because I don't know of anybody that could have staged a scene to look any more like what it was, a massive heart attack in the middle of raking leaves. And then what happened, we bought a house from a nice little old lady. Well, she wasn't that nice. She was actually not so nice, but her husband died during a giant blizzard Chicago had in 1967 on my birthday. If you go back in the annals of snowfall in Chicago, you'll find that there was a giant, like a 25-inch blizzard, January 26th and 27th of 1967. And this lady's husband went out to shovel snow during that blizzard, and it killed him. So I try to be very careful about my recreational activities. I'm not going to do anything strenuous or life-threatening, like raking leaves or shoveling snow. And
so when you said your dad had his work clothes on,
yeah,
you know, so I'm envisioning, tell me if I'm wrong, that your dad is out there in a hard shafter and Mark suit raking leaves.
No, he actually would come home and then get on his yard work clothes, which are totally different.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, these were clothes that I think a lot of them dated from the Korean War. When I was a kid, I remember him walking around in combat boots, and I think he wore those doing yard work until they wore out and everything. But he had a small set of clothes that he would wear doing yard work. We always lived on large pieces of property, and he always found it therapeutic to do all this yard work. I was the guy who introduced him to Roundup, but prior to that, he would sit all day long cross-legged and pull weeds out of a crushed limestone driveway.
Picking weeds out of a rock driveway.
And it was therapeutic somehow for him, but he also thought it was important to get the roots so that the leaves or the weeds would not grow back. Well, that's it.
So he had one of those little things with the, that you could dig out the roots.
Yeah, sometimes he would do that, but it was satisfying to him. Now here's the weird thing. He would then get up and he would wash his hands, but he would get in a car, drive down to the local Ford dealership sometimes, but they all knew him there. So he would go to a Ford dealership in another town, maybe Aurora, Illinois or Wheaton. And he would just walk in looking like the poorest bum in the world. And he would decide that he had already decided what he was going to do when he got there. Basically, every 2 years, he got my mother a brand new loaded, fully loaded Country Squire station wagon.
And then so that's a Ford, right? Yeah, yeah.
Oh boy, that's a Ford Galaxy 500.
Yeah.
All the options. And then occasionally, he would also need a car for him to drive back and forth to the train. And so that did not have to be anything special. And so if he was treated with respect, like any other potential car buyer would be, he always had, that was a good experience. But as in the owner of a sales force, a sales company, he was always observing how he was treated by other sales companies. When he walked into a Ford dealership, if they all ran and hid because he had been working in the yard in these clothes and he didn't look like he had a pot to go wee-wee in, then he would mark that down, and he would never, never, ever patronize a store that treated him like that.
Yeah. No, makes perfect sense. I'm going to cut the tape right here for a minute. Okay. I need to go. We'll cut this out, but I need to go get some cough drops.
Okay. Well, I'll go have more olives then.
Okay.
Okay, so it's probably time to get after it, as Randy is wont to say. I had just a few odds and ends to talk about today. Last time, I crowed like a rooster and blew my own horn about what a fantastic day I had as a salesman. I had people coming after me asking for help with their Medicare stuff. They needed information. Some of them needed to apply based on information I had given them earlier, and others needed to know what they had to do to get the whole process started. It was just a wonderful day, and I had to share it with somebody, so I basically burned up a whole podcast episode doing that. So today, I'm left with random thoughts, and one of those thoughts was about my reaction to the Moderna virus. Vaccine. I've got friends, and that's become a big topic of conversation. When are you getting your shots? And have you had your first shot yet? When are you getting your second shot and everything else? And so I didn't pay a lot of attention until my friends Roy and Kathy said, well, we have our appointments to get our shots. This was back in February. Really? Well, when are you going to do that? On February so-and-so, 3 o'clock in the morning, we have to drive all the way across Phoenix to a stadium and stand in line forever. And that'll be our first shot. Then we'll have to do it again a month later. Well, I happened to be talking to one of my neighbors who said, I just discovered that down the road a piece, there's going to be a thing called Passport Health is going to open a pop-up vaccination stand and a for rent bar. And so they're going to be doing it for like 5 days. So if you call this number, then you might get in line. So I called the number and they said, well, go to this website, sign up. So I signed myself up, signed the spousal unit up. She'd be very upset if I was the only one to get a shot. And then I called Roy and Kathy and I said, hey, instead of going at 3 o'clock in the morning all the way across Phoenix, get on this website right now because they still have some open spots. So the four of us went down there and got our shots February 18th, I think it was. And we were told to sit around for 15 minutes. But because I'm taking blood thinners, they said, now you're going to be sitting here for 30 minutes because we think something bad might happen to you. Yeah, nothing bad ever happens to me. So that was a wasted 30 minutes. then we went over across the street to Lou Malnati's and had pizza, and I drank beer. So then we had our second appointment, same outfit, on 1 month later on the 18th of March. And so we showed up for the second shot. Now, the first shot, we were comparing notes amongst the four of us, and this also kind of included my high school reunion committee, which is mostly hot babes, because they're all concerned about whether they're going to drop dead after having gotten the injection. So my report was that after the first injection, I was able to bend my arms sufficiently to eat pizza and drink beer. But I did notice that as I went to bed, my arm was a little... and, okay. My activities are maybe less than stellar, but I was able to carry on my normal functions. How's that? Yeah, Randy's not laughing so hard now.
I could eat pizza and drink beer. You know, in your world, in my world, that's the top of the heap right there.
It pretty much gets you where you're going.
Yeah.
And for me, it's thick crust Chicago style pizza.
Yep.
And no light beer. And for Randy, it's quite the upper crust. It's going to be your Guinness poured in the traditional manner. And I don't know what kind of pizza he likes.
I love Chicago deep dish. No doubt about it.
There you go. All right. So anyway, we got the shots. The next morning, I woke up and my arm still hurt. And then I went to bed that night and it still hurt. Then the next morning I got up and it still kind of hurt. And then I realized it didn't hurt from the shot, from the injection, or from the vaccine's work, nefarious work inside my skin. It hurt because I probably have some, pain that people get when their joints stop working properly. What is that? I wanted to say amnesia, but that's what I'm getting right now. It's arthritis.
I'm sure that
I have some arthritic thing going on in my arm. And I think there was no pain, probably no reaction from the first injection I had. And once again, this is the Moderna vaccine. So I then went with my friends in my spousal unit on March 18th to get injection number two. And we went across the street to Lou Malnati's again to have deep dish pizza. And I had beer. Some of them had wine and others had iced tea. That night was fine. Everything was fine, except right before I was going to go to bed, I started feeling a little warm. And I don't get sick typically, but I remember back to when I used to have the flu periodically, and this started to feel like the chills that you might get when you're fighting off a disease. The next morning I woke up and I managed to function, but I had what Randy told me to expect. And I didn't know what this was like. It's called brain fog. And most of that day, the 19th of March, I was unable to figure out what I was supposed to do in the normal amount of time one can do that. And in fact, it got progressively worse during the day, I guess, but I wasn't aware of it. I found myself towards the end of the day in the evening, sitting in my easy chair with my computer on my lap, trying to figure out how to send an email with an attached file. And I swear to God, I tried it over and over and over again, and I knew it wasn't working because then I would go to the sent mail folder and it wouldn't be there. And I would say, darn it, something's wrong with my computer. And my wife would go, you're nuts. You know, you do this like 20 times a day. And it was impossible for me to perform a simple function like that. What happened the following day was I woke up and I actually had what felt like the flu. And it was a high temperature, and it was a lethargic feeling. I took a nap in the middle of the day, which is something I never, ever do unless I have to for some reason. And it was like having a touch of the Asian flu that I used to get every year. Ooh, Asian, ooh, that hurts the feelings of all Asians. But anyway, the day after that, so this was like the 21st, maybe, back to normal. And so there was a reaction to the Moderna virus, and it didn't last forever, but it was enough to make me feel as though I couldn't perform my normal functions. So those of you that are looking at a vaccination coming up, you might have the same thing I did. Now, Mary, the spousal unit, no reaction whatsoever, except a little arm pain in the injection spot. She said her arm turned red. Our friends that went with us, Roy and Kathy, they had various degrees of swollen arms. Kathy had a day of being incapacitated just because she couldn't get off the couch. She said that the gravity was, you know, sucking her into the couch and she couldn't get off. It wasn't that she was ill necessarily. They both had arm swelling and redness, but it's all gone. And all four of us are now totally immune. They tell us like 98% immune. So there should be a trail of masks flying out of cars of old people that are leaving, driving away from that injection pop-up store. So I'm hoping that the vaccines work as well as they say they do. So that's,
you know, Doug, when you described the injection pop-up store, mm-hmm. You know what that reminded me of?
I don't know, but they didn't yell Norm when I walked in. So even though it used to
reminded me of occasionally in Nebraska, but more often out here in Arizona, you'd be driving up any particular road, usually a high traffic road, and there would be a ratty old looking truck beside the road offering to sell fresh frozen shrimp.
Oh boy, that's got to be tasty right there. No, that's not Diarrhea City at all.
So was this pop-up injection company anything like that at all?
It wasn't, because they didn't ask us for money. So that's how I knew it was legitimate. I was waiting for them to hold their hand out. Where's your fee? You know, just, you know, we're going to inject you with some water or something like that. It was all legit and on the up and up.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you and Mary are fully indoctrinated and injecticated. So I'm glad to hear that, because I have yet to go there because they want me to wait for a bit. Well, but sure. What my wife has told me, well, that we have to wait a little bit on that. But we last weekend went and got what has been affectionately tagged as the grandparents' shot.
You mentioned that, and I had never heard of this before. But it's not a full dose, right? It's not a booster or anything like that. It's just a whiff of the
virus. It's a strange little thing. The grandparent shot is a shot that contains the same stuff that you would have come across as a kid, like measles, mumps, and all the stuff. It's not even anything. No, it's not the Wuhan flu stuff. But they said that the reason they're having to give it to grandparents is that many of us are carriers, I guess, I don't know, of whooping cough. Hmm. And the reason that we have to go get these things is because they won't let you anywhere within the same county of a newborn child anymore if you haven't had one of these things.
Well, you know something? My mother was like the last American adult to get polio back in 1954, right when the vaccine came out. She happened to be diagnosed with polio. And there were a lot of people I knew that had polio, including the son of our doctor right across the street. And so across the street in our neighborhood is like a quarter of a mile away. My doctor was his father, and he always said, keep up with your polio boosters, because I don't know that it's ever going to go away completely. So I'm not sure that we should ever relax about the stuff you're talking about. I hadn't heard about this grandparent shot, but when you're talking about pertussis, which is whooping cough, or the various kinds of measles, I think the medical society is... Frankly, they should be more cautious. They should encourage us to get these booster shots once in a while, because a flare-up of a disease like that is just going to drive this country into a frenzy. People will be berserk if measles comes back or polio.
Right, right. And I didn't even know they existed. I mean, I only heard about it because our daughter's getting ready to have a new child, or a child, and it's new.
In April. That works.
So, we had to go get it.
April.
Well, yeah.
She works fast. I just heard about this a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be coming for arrival in April.
So it's going to be like a race between hers and Drew McMillan, our announcer.
That's right. We ought to have some sort of a bet going on.
Well, I think what we ought to do is set them up for a fist fight and see who's tougher.
That's right. We could do that.
The Canadian or the Arizonan. I bet the Arizonan wins.
I think the Arizona kid will win. But
yeah. So anyway, back to Medicare. My God, the people didn't come here to listen to you and I jawjack, did they?
Well, we have burned up our time.
All right. Well, I'm going to do one short little thing here. And this is another big insurance company that has a lot of Medicare Advantage plans has written a letter to me. And I know it's to me because it's very personalized. It says, "Dear agent," and that's me. And they said, "We are writing to let you know that beginning January 1st, 2021, DaVita Inc. dialysis centers will no longer be in our Medicare Advantage plan network." Now, I don't know anything about this outfit, this DaVita dialysis center. I know we're looking, I mean, I got this letter from a huge insurance company, and, I don't know where this outfit, this DaVita Inc. is located, but here's another example of somebody's doctor, somebody's treatment facility not being available to them anymore. Now, in this case, this letter came out October 1st. So if people knew about this and had a plan that relied on this DaVita Inc. for treatment, they at least had some time to maybe go find a different plan to enroll in, because that's what you do with Medicare Advantage plans. Your plan goes south on you sooner or later, and so you have to go out and find a new one. In this case, these people had some warning before the open enrollment period, and so they were allowed to go look for a new plan that might have this DaVita dialysis center or some equivalent dialysis center in it, so they could get out of the plan that relied on this particular dialysis center that was canceling their contract. It's just another example, and it happens every day. Well, it happens every month, let's say, that doctors, hospitals, or treatment centers will leave a network to go to a different network. And all of a sudden, the people who rely on them that might have had a Medicare Advantage plan, and that was their doctor, well, they're not going to get paid anymore. So they're going to either have to pay out of their own pockets to see that doctor or to get the visit that dialysis center, or they're going to have to find some other kind of coverage that'll pay the freight for them. It's just one of the many reasons that Medicare Advantage plans are troublesome, and not everybody has a good experience with them. So that wasn't as short as I'd hoped it would be, but it's a little more Medicare content to add to the goofing around that we've done today.
Well, you know me, I'm the Medicare disadvantage guy.
I've always known you to be that.
So help me understand, you can't build a dialysis center, you know, like in a day and a half.
I would think not.
So it's a rather, you know, costly investment.
Sure.
So not every town is going to have seven of them.
No.
So if this dialysis center was one that quite a few people were depending on for their dialysis treatments, and it just freaking goes away, that's another reason that I wouldn't touch a Medicare Advantage plan with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, because what happens is you sign up for a plan, and then maybe a few months into the following year, when you don't have any open enrollment available to you till the next year, if that plan changes, then you're kind of SOL. Let's say that the plan changes the way it treats the medication that you take, and all of a sudden, instead of a very low, manageable, out-of-pocket cost, copay for each of the drugs you take, they change their list of drugs in the middle of the year so that yours are now in a higher tier, and they're treated very, they're not treated benignly anymore, but they become very expensive. You're going to have to pay a lot more money out of your pocket, and it's not your doing. You didn't have the opportunity to make that decision before you chose that plan. You chose the plan based on certain factors, and then sometimes those factors will change in the middle of the year, and you can't do a thing about it till the end of that year. So that's a long way of saying, yes, Randy, you're exactly right.
You know something? I just have never felt good about Medicare Advantage plans, not feeling any better about them. But having said that, thank you, audience, for joining us today. We have enjoyed every minute with you. You've all been very patient with us. No extra noise, no throwing popcorn, nothing. You've been very good audience. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you every time, and we'll look forward to catching you the next time around. But in the meantime, you have just spent 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and the sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. Buy some books.
Oh, boy, it gets longer and longer every time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Randy, for twisting those knobs.
You're welcome, Doug. Have a good one.